Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Employment Matters podcast, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the world. I'm your host, Jamie Goh, a partner at Shen Delamore & Co. in Malaysia. On the program, we span the globe and receive updates on critical issues from ELA members in each region. On today's episode, we shine a spotlight on the cultural nuances when making labor decisions with Vietnamese employees. Joining us on the program is Stephen Lay, founder and lead litigator at Lay & Zhang in Vietnam, and we are thrilled to have his expertise enriching our discussion. Xin chào and welcome, Stephen. We are delighted to have you on our program. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen. No doubt, as one delves into Vietnam's legal culture, it is essential to recognize both the challenges and opportunities it presents. Rather than a traditional setting down the tone on an overview of Vietnam's legal system, let's break away and zoom in on three selected major topics: layoffs, mental health, and use of social media in the workplace. Stephen, are there any cultural considerations when it comes to terminating employees in Vietnam?
So when terminating an employee in Vietnam, we often refer the negotiation to reach the mutual separation with the employee, rather than to apply the labor disciplinary action against them, like dismissal. Or in the communication with the employee to reach the mutual separation, we should show the respect to the employee to keep their pay up. And only in the worst scenario, we should show the bad evidence against them. Otherwise, I think that just haunt the mutual separation in a private meeting, because the Vietnamese culture is like the Asian culture. So they don't want to other people to see their bad behavior or the reason why they was terminated.
I see. That is very interesting. Looking ahead for 2024, do you envisage other trends or specific models besides termination to reduce workforce in Vietnam? Are there any new developments in the law regarding layoffs currently?
There is no development in the law regarding the layoffs currently. The law allows the company to organize the layoff as long as that is the factual event or factual cause for the layoff, right? Like reduce the production lines or economic reasons and other, like the changing the technology and something like that. And based on that, the law allows the company to organize the restructuring plan to the employees. However, to pass the restructuring plan, it takes very long time and must have the participation of the trade unions and organization representative for the employee as well. So along with the labor restructuring, we encourage the company to try to find a way to negotiate with the employee to reach the mutual separation along the way with the restructuring. To prove with the employee that restructuring is a must and we cannot avoid, but the company is still in the goodwill to reach the mutual separation with the employee.
I see. That is very similar to the position in Malaysia.
Yeah.
On mental health, to what extent do cultural attitudes influence how mental health is perceived and addressed in Vietnam?
The mental health in the Western country or in other country, developed country, the mental health is very critical. But in Vietnam, the mental health is not yet considered seriously in the working environment. So the mental health is just around 2 or 3 years after the COVID-19. The government and the company try to encourage the employee follow the regulation on improving their mental health. But honestly, there is much development now because that's most of the employee in Vietnam, the blue collar ones, they're working in the factories. And the company has to follow the international standard at the requirement of the global corporation like Nike, Adidas, and so that they will improve the working environment for the employees. The government just act like the facilitator or the middle party encouraging the company to follow the international standard only. For the detailed regulation on the mental health, there will be regulation on the mental health as well. And the government also provide the regulation to force the company to give the allowance to the employee. But the enforcement of this regulation is still very weak.
Do cultural factors play a significant role in shaping the use of social media in the workplace in Vietnam?
It's not yet is the critical factors these days. On the social media, the many people talk about the mental health, the culture, blah, blah, blah. But honestly, it's rather noisy in Vietnam, and it seems that nobody do not care much about the mental health issue. So this is quite a new, very new and the beginning stage of the mental health concern. So on the social media, many speakers, celebrities, they are the governmental officials, they try to educate people, but it's still at the education level. For the enforcement level, it's still slow.
Okay, I see. Stephen, could you then provide us an insight of how Vietnam's legal system has evolved over the years and the key cultural influence that have shaped it?
Vietnam followed the Chinese system. The legal system in Vietnam established based on the civil law, and they also learned from the Soviet Union and the Chinese system as well. There's some development in the court system. They apply the civil precedent in the trials, and the law also encouraged the party like the employees and company try to reach the mutual separation rather than go to the court for any labor dispute. Because the culture is that Asian culture, Vietnamese culture, they don't like to go to the court to settle any dispute at all. So outside the court settlement is encouraged during the labor conflict between the company and the employees. Even go to the court as well, the church also try to mediate between the employees and the employer. So I think that the culture is mean that we don't want to fight and the people should be friends. Even we have a conflict, but try to settle the conflict outside the court.
Wow, that is very conciliatory.
Yeah.
In relation to setting up businesses, what should foreign direct investment companies pay attention to when planning an investment in Vietnam?
For the FDI company, when they enter into Vietnam, so the cost, they should consider the cost. I know that many FDI companies, they plan the cost very well, but there is some, that unknown expense. They have to pay to the local authorities or even for the companies doing the survey in Vietnam because of the incorrect information. Particularly the minimum wage at the area they select for their investment, they should to check with the local authority carefully because some information is strong, maybe wrong, and the minimum wage may be very high. And when the investor come in and they see that the minimum wage rate is so high, so they cannot pay, they cannot expand for the salary to the around 1,000 employees, something like that. So the total cost is super high and they withdraw the investment in Vietnam. So checking the information with the local authority is a must. Even should have the dialogue between the investor with the local authority and so that the local authority can also support the investor and give the right information as well. And outside that, Vietnamese market is like Chinese market. There is some the unknown expense and there is no lawful involvement, something like that. But it's still because it's a developing market. So the investor should consider that when they plan the purchase, they plan the finance for investment in Vietnam, there are some disbursement they need to repair, maybe around 10 to 20% to prepare for the disbursement.
On a lighter note, as we all know, an investment is a commitment of money to receive more money later. Money in turn contributes to corruption. Can you shed some light about the current state of anti-corruption efforts in Vietnam?
The Vietnamese government is very strong in is organizing many strong anti-corruption campaigns. But as a top level only, for the middle and the local level, there is still corruption. But the corruption in Vietnam is still considered as put at the concern. But as long as the government still have the strong effort to improve it, and now the FDI, investment environment for the FDI company are much improved. To obtain the license, it may take around 30 days to 45 days only. In the past, it may take around 4 months. And the government tried to reduce unnecessary residents and encourage the local authority to open to the FDI company so that cooperate with the FDI company so that they can get the license soon. And when they get the license soon, they can have the investment implemented soon. And the local government has more tax, more budgets, and the employee at the area also employed by the FDI company. It's good for the local authority. So the government trying to educate and encourage the local official to open and cooperate with the FDI company. And of course, there are some silent expense but it's not the highest spend. It's still an acceptable spend during the investment in Vietnam by the FDI company. So the most important, when the FDI company entered into Vietnam, they should establish the professional connection with the local authority. Like maybe they can come to meet or have dialogue with the local authority, try to have the local authority understand about their purpose, the project, what the project can have the area and can have the people there, and show that the top official of the local authority, they can send a message to the low, the middle or the lower level official, try to cooperate and speak up the project for the FDI company.
Very good to know that the Vietnamese government play proactive efforts in combating corruption.
Yeah.
But I do believe law firms also play a crucial role in anti-corruption efforts through various avenues. In this regard, I am sure our listeners would love to know why Lay and John should be the client's choice when entering Vietnam.
Because our background are from the labor dispute, commercial dispute, and we also enter into the many commercial transactions as well. We understand exactly how the local authority works. We are not only the lawyer, but we are also stand on the business mindset of the investor. And we also understand how the local authority, they think about an issue rather than beyond the law. The law is there already, but how to find a win-win solution for both the FDI company and the local authorities, and try to explain with the authority in their own language and in their own culture. That's the role of our law firm. And we have no intention to be in any conflict with the local authority. And we try to have the FDI company understand the local authorities and find a solution that's acceptable to the local authority. And so that the FDI company, they have the investment being licensed and run the business smoothly in Vietnam.
Very concise explanation, Stephen. The provision of comprehensive legal support across various disciplines is definitely a plus factor. And those qualities and achievements that you've pointed out in relation to your firm are very notable. As we wrap up our discussion, is there anything else you'd like to share about Vietnam's legal culture that we have not covered?
Vietnam legal culture, I think that Vietnam is still more flexible and more comfortable than the other markets like the China market, because China is strong now, so they may not concern about the FDI company anymore. But Vietnam is still the young market and hunger for the FDI investment. So Vietnamese government, honestly, very cooperative. Maybe there are some corruption issue at the low level, but I don't think that this is an issue for the FDI company not to come into Vietnam. The Vietnamese people, young, hardworking, and honest, they can be trained to be the good workers, and it's a good place for the manufacturing company enter into Vietnam. And the government is also trying to have the local company to provide the regional level service to the FDI company. I think that for the culture is just beside the law. Vietnam also very open to talk in the human way, based on the benefit between the Vietnam and the FDI company. And we try to find a win-win solution for the FDI company.
Very interesting perspective, Stephen. Thank you. I hate to bid adieu, but that is all the time we have for today's episode. As we conclude, I hope this exploration into the legal culture of Vietnam has offered valuable insights. The intersection of law and culture is a dynamic space. Understanding it is key to pave the way for inclusive and effective labor decisions. Stephen, this has been a very interesting session, and I hope we can meet in person in the not too distant future. Until next time, Tam Biet.
Thanks, Chami.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you would like to connect with Stephen, please click on his bio in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law. In addition, search the ELA website where you can sign up to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download white papers and on-demand content from our online library, or access the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook. You've been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Jamie Goh. Thanks for listening.